Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 tonight. Springboard, Isaiah 41, 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that we can be a blessing because you will uphold us. And Father, you can help us to look to others and minister to them. Father, we pray that you would help us in that. God, we're in difficult times in our country right now, and we pray you'd give our leaders wisdom, Heavenly Father. We pray for revival in our land. We pray for revival in our own hearts. We pray for a hedge about your people and the elderly whom this virus seems to be the hardest on. And God, give us grace and wisdom in these days ahead with so many changes here to know how to live and walk with thee and be the light you call us to be in each circumstance. Thank you for caring, Lord, for your people. And Father, I ask for the filling of your spirit just to share what you've laid on my heart for tonight. And Father, we look to you. I pray that you would be glorified, your church would be edified. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not going to look at Colossians tonight. I just want to kind of address the situation that we're in, the things that surround us with this coronavirus. There's a lot of fear. And how should we be as God's people in this? It seems to be magnified. I think about, you know, why this so much over other things that have happened. We think of the swine flu just a couple of years ago. Some comparisons between the swine flu and the coronavirus. The swine flu and the stats they kept on that, they kept for about a year. So it covers a year. There were 1.4 billion worldwide cases of the swine flu. And we'll compare these with the coronavirus. Now, the coronavirus, of course, we've been dealing with here in the States since January. So we're looking at roughly, 3 months. So I'll take some of the swine flu statistics and make them comparable to a three-month statistic. What are we looking at there? And the swine flu statistics would probably be even a little bit conservative because obviously if you take the total swine flu, the cases, and cut it in a fourth, you get a number, well, of how many cases. Well, the cases are going to expand out the farther out from the beginning you get. So taking a fourth of the whole thing is probably actually a conservative number for the fourth, because as it expands, it does exponentially. You see that? And so it's probably a conservative figure that we're looking at. But the coronavirus to date, and these stats might be a few hours. These are from 5 or 6 hours ago. The worldwide case is 217,436. Comparatively, for the swine flu, what would have been about a fourth of the time, a comparison, 350 million there were, and I have the cases for the year for the swine flu, but I'm just going to break them all down to the 3 months since we're comparing it with the coronavirus. The coronavirus in the United States here, we have 7,387 cases to date. What would that have been about this time with the swine flu? 15.35 million cases in the United States. The death toll this time at the coronavirus, 116 in the United States. A comparative of what the swine flu would have been in a comparable amount of time here in the States, 116 coronavirus, 3,117 the swine flu. And of course, the major attack, the major victims of the swine flu were children and middle-aged adults. You say, well, then why is so much hysteria? Well, there's one answer: the media. It's the media. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what it is. Maybe there should have been more media, about the swine flu. I'm just stating the fact. It's the media. I read one line on one thing put out by CNN. Infected people without symptoms might be driving the spread of the coronavirus more than we realized. In times like this, we don't need to hear mites and maybes and those kind of things. We need to just know the facts, amen, and to know what God would have us to do. So a lot of it is coming from the media, and we as believers we need to decide what media are we going to go to, amen. And some of us, we'd better off if we just turned off the television and not listen to that stuff. And we'd have our mind focused on the Lord like it needs to be. There's even some stories out there about conspiracy theories behind how this virus got started. It may even be true. I don't know. But it really doesn't matter, because we serve a sovereign God. Revelation 19:6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. I'm glad I'm a part of that bride, amen. And we're looking forward to our sovereign Lord returning. By the way, he is sovereign. And we, in times like these, as believers, we need to be running to him. Amen. We need to be trusting in him. Psalm 91 has been such a blessing to me to think about during this time. Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You just focus on that picture for a moment there. It's a comforting thing, isn't it? By the way, he is the God of all comfort, our God. As much as we need every kind of comfort we need. Psalm 91:2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Goes on to say, verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. They had dealt with a lot of pestilence in biblical times and such, and we see God providing through those things. And we just need to focus upon our God. God is omnipotent. You know, we think about this situation that our country is in. Well, one thing's for sure. God has either initiated it or he's allowed it. That's for positively sure. Because he's an omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. This hasn't caught him by surprise. Matter of fact, he knew this was going to happen before the world was created. And he decided to fit this into his plan somehow for our good and for his glory. It's already a piece of the puzzle. And we need to remember that when we think about our God. The pandemic could be a judgment from God upon our nation, upon multiple nations. We don't know. Could be. We certainly pray for revival for our nation, don't we? We've been doing that for a long time. But we read through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. We read not only about the judgment God was going to bring upon Israel, but also the judgments he was going to bring upon other nations of the world. See, it's not just that God does with Israel as he will. He does with all nations as he will. And that's our God. By the way, believer, he's on your side. He's on my side. He loves us more than we understand and realize. That's our God working these things together, using these things for his glory. Jeremiah 25:17 and following talks about all the nations that God judges besides Israel. I'm going to judge this. I'm going to send Israel to Babylon. I'm going to judge you there. By the way, when I'm done there, I'm going to judge the king of Babylon for thinking he did it and not giving me the glory. I'm going to judge him for that. And when and I'm going to bring all the nations upon him. Then I'm going to judge all these other nations. God says, he's in control. He's in control. God is the potter, and we are the clay. And the interesting thing about that is that context in Jeremiah 18 is not talking about individual people. It's talking about nations in that context there. Jeremiah 18:5, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. What instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I'll repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. I was thinking about that and praying about that. I just wrote Nineveh in parentheses beside that. That's exactly what God did with Nineveh. He went to that city and what'd they do? They repented. God says, okay, I'm not going to destroy it as I had said. And so God deals with the nations. We understand that God can send plagues because of sin. Psalm 106:28. The psalmist speaking of Israel, they joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. The plague brake in upon them. So he does use that. He does in judgments at times. As we pray for our nation, it's a hard time to go through. I know there was battles back and forth in Congress getting this coronavirus bill. I don't even know if it's been passed yet. Anybody heard any news on that? Have you? Okay, but there were battles back and forth. What, the first one? Back and forth, because they're trying to slip in their different things that they want in there. You know, the Republicans and the Democrats, and both of them getting off focus. Uh, But one thing that has always touched my heart and put fear in my heart for our nation is the abortion issue. You know, Israel went to Babylon for their sins. God tells us that clearly in 2 Kings 24:1 and following. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldeans, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight, for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did. So, sins in general, all that. And he says, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. For some reason, the scripture, the Holy Spirit, among all the sins of Manasseh and the other sins of Judah, takes that sin and sets it out and highlights it. It must be important. The Bible says God wouldn't pardon that. And we have been guilty of that for a very long time. By the way, far more than Manasseh. And so I fear for our nation. Do I know if this is a judgment for that? I do not know. I just know that it could be. And so we ought to be praying for our nation. Amen. We need to be voting properly. You know, we always vote. We haven't had a fundamental Christian up there for a president. You know, we haven't had that. Folks that believe all the things that we believe, they're like-minded in faith, that we haven't had that. What do we choose? We choose, frankly, the lesser of evils, don't we? That's what we vote for. But we do have to do that. Amen. And we have to remember, if we're concerned for our nation, our God, who is a nation-moving God, our God, who is a nation-exalting and a nation-destroying God, said he sent his own called-out nation to Babylon for that reason, as a major reason. And so we need to pray for revival in our nation regarding that. That through this, I've heard some of the bills had to do with that. They were trying to get a fighting back and forth on that. Which is a good thing. I'm glad we have some in Congress that are fighting for that. You know, we want to get some more right to life phraseology in these kind of things. You know, that's wonderful. But there are also people that are resisting that. Oh no, you don't. And there goes the battle. There were some other things going on too. But pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for, with all these judges that we'd have now that are pro-life, they won't be afraid to step out and to begin, especially the saved among them, to work towards the end of this murder of the innocents, which is what the Bible calls it. And we need to be praying for that continually. Pray for God's grace and mercies. We've deserved judgment for a long time. By the way, many nations have. If there's one thing we're familiar with our God, he's a merciful God. And we continue to pray for that. What do we do as believers? We need to have revival ourselves. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need to look at our own selves. God, am I walking with you? Is my heart right? Is my heart broken over my sins, first of all, and then our country, where we're at? Pray for revival. Continue. And we are. And by the way, have you ever thought it might take something like this to bring our nation to revival? Folks, this may be an answer to our prayers. This may be an answer to our prayers. And we need to keep praying. Better we suffer a little bit and something good happen toward those things that we talk about, amen, then those things can, then those other things continue. Keeping those things before God in prayer. So praying for our revival, praying for our nation. And then common sense and cleanliness, you know, regarding this virus. You know, God set a good example in the Bible about this, and I was reading on this. It's many scholars and historians study. They look at Moses and Israel that came out, and they are amazed at the way that they conducted themselves in comparison to the other nations as far as cleanliness and these type of things. Hygiene. Exodus 24:8. God says, take heed to the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you as I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. We think about those things. What did a lot of those things involve? Scraping the walls down to the house. I was reading, I couldn't find the illustration for tonight, but I used one years ago where I forget the doctor's name, but he actually was one of the first to get the ideas to make the walls in hospitals smooth so they'd clean easier. You get the germs. He got that idea from them scraping the walls down in the houses that had the leprosy. The leprosy, scraping the walls down, the washing of clothes, quarantine. God did that. Quarantine of the offended, covering of the mouth. You've heard that with the lepers, huh? Public hygiene, water supply, sewage disposal, inspection and selection of food, prohibition to eat certain animals and not others, not the animals after they died of a natural death, shaving off of the hair, head, beard, eyebrows, all these things they see medical benefits today in them that they wonder how they knew about them, because a lot of them are beneficial as far as germs goes, things you can't see. It's an amazing thing. So what are we to do? How does that apply? Well, we're to obey our government as much as we can. I'm not happy to see restrictions on our meeting, how many people can meet. But we're going to obey our government as long as we can and still obey God's word. We're going to do that. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. He put them here. We have Executive Order 20-07. Assemblies of more than 25 on a premise are prohibited. That's been put out by our governor. And so we're going to respect that. And we're going to do what we can. We're going to work. We're going to work around that to fulfill God's will. You know, if we have to meet in different ways, we're going to do that. We're spaced out here the way that they've put out and suggested. Why? Because we can do these things and still be obedient to God. Amen. And that's what we need to do, is to be careful that we're obeying the government as much as we can and yet obeying God. Obeying God, of course, primarily. 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or, and it goes on, governors and such. So that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. What else can we learn through this as we go through this together as believers? Well, we can be sobered. I've been sobered already. It just seems so surreal to me what's going on. It's amazing. Do we realize that in a matter of days, God has utterly halted and humbled the most powerful government and the most prosperous economy in the world? He has brought it to its knees. He's got the whole world looking around, wondering what to do in a matter of days, really. That's our God. That's our God. Be sobered. be sobered. That's a good thing. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Things that sober God's people are good things. Excuse me. Be sobered. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober. Maybe this thing has come so that God can purify, well, his church in these United States here. And certainly he will use it for that, no doubt. Even if it is first and foremost to address the first issue we talked about, we don't know. But the fact is, he will use it, what? To purge and cleanse his church. He does that. He does that. John, I think about what has been affected so powerfully in these virus and such. It's been the government, the economy, people's jobs, and medical science. These are things that are idols to the world. And unfortunately, they're idols to many believers. See, whatever, when we give something the honor or attention that God deserves, that thing is an idol. When we expect something from something else, but God's supposed to give us that, that thing's an idol. Think about that. 1 John 5:18 and following, whosoever is born of God sinneth not. We have a pattern of walking with God. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. We know we are of God, the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know the Son of God has come, hath given us an understanding. We may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What's the last verse say? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. See, there's believers that are trusting in the government to provide their needs. There's believers that are trusting in their jobs to provide their needs. And by the way, there are believers that are trusting in their doctors for their good health. And God took all three of those pins down just in a few days. Because the doctors don't know how to solve this thing yet. They don't know. They're not sure exactly how it got started. They don't have a vaccine for it. Don't know when they will have. Don't know about a cure. They don't have the answer. You know what God's challenging us with? Are you trusting me for these things? Are you trusting me for these things? John put it so plain, little children, keep yourself from idols. Maybe God's doing some idol cleansing in his house before he comes back. You ever think about that? Sometimes we get so used to it, to leaning on something like that, we forget that would be defined as an idol. It's an amazing thing. So putting God first, trusting him. And then, finally, remember your refuge. See, we do have a place to run. People are running hither and yon, and in a panic, and fearful. And if we're honest, we're fearful in some ways too. But we're told we have a place to go. You see, you know why the world's panicking? Because they're used to running to the government. They're used to running to their job or their finances. They're used to running to the doctor. And all of those things have been kicked out from under them. That's why the world's in the panic that they're in. But what does God say to us? I am all these things to you. I can care for you in everything and in every way. And you can have peace trusting in me. You can watch it all fall apart around you. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh on thee. You can watch this world fall apart as far as their peace goes, but God says it doesn't happen to you, it has to happen to you, believer. Because I'm your shelter. I'm the one that watches over you. And I know there are things in Psalm 91 that deal with God's covenant with Israel, how he promised them material things and such. But I think there are spiritual applications to make for you and I and God caring for us. God talked about caring for that one who would dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And that person said in verse 2, Psalm 91, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And the question is, will you and I do that? What will I say is my refuge during this time? Am I going to choose him? Am I going to see that my faith be increased in him? I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. I like verse 14 of Psalm 91. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Isn't that good? I will set him on high. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Why? Because he set his love upon him. You know, isn't that what God called us to do all along, is to love him? To love him, you know, and to trust him. And he will help us and trust us in all and guide us in all these things. You know, I think about, you say, well, we still got to go through the hard times, preacher. If it's going to go through our nation and such, we may have to. But don't forget who to run to. Isaiah 32:2, I believe, speaking of the Lord prophetically, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadows of a great rock in a weary land. What are we saying? Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land. We're going to stand on him. We're going to lean on him. We're going to let him comfort us. We'd be honest with him. God, I'm fearful. Got this problem here, or this problem there. But I want to trust you. Increase my faith. Two of the things I pray the most often in my life is increase my faith and teach me to pray. I still pray those things often. And we need that. And he cares for us. And he's got his eye on us. Remember when he judged his own people, Israel? Sent them off to Babylon. You remember the horrible plight they went through? Many starving in the city and eating their children. Ah, but what about the remnant? God took care of them. They came through it. Ezekiel 11:16. Remember what he said? You hang out here in Jerusalem against my will, it's not going to be good. Matter of fact, you will die unless you surrender to who? The king of Babylon. And the obedient and the remnant, the believing ones, did that. But what about the ones that kind of got dragged along with the rest and couldn't make the choice? Jeremiah was that way. They shipped them off to Egypt, you know, and kidnapped them there and such. And listen to Ezekiel 11:16. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them off far from among the heathen. It's talking about the remnant that also got carried away. Although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. And I want to tell you, you may see problems and worries all around you, and I and myself too during this time. But God will be your sanctuary at your place. God says, I'll be with you through this. I'll walk with you through this if you'll trust me. If you'll get under my wing, I'll be your comfort. And you just trust me is what he says. He'll take care of us. Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God says, I will take care of you. Maybe he wants to do something in our nation through this. I hope so. We need it. I know he wants to do something in our heart, in our hearts from this. That we, maybe he's, hey, maybe he's coming sooner than we think, even. And just saying, I'm going to come get my bride, and I'm going to spruce her up just a little bit more just so she's good and ready. You read about the bride there in Revelation. He's making her ready. Making her ready. Maybe this is what we need to boost our love a little bit toward him. To clean out some of the idols maybe that have grown into our lives and we haven't realized it maybe. And he's just getting us ready. I don't know. But I know this. He does want it to use it to make us love him more, trust him more, and be a help to others through it. And be a witness to him through it. In the darkness we can shine, brethren. And as I mentioned, every time I open this book and I read these pages, 99% of the time I'm reading about someone who is living in far worse circumstances than I'm in right now. Or even ever have been. And it's been that way all through the ages. God's people. And God has this for us. And by the way, he didn't give us more, or allow more than we can handle. So through him, we can handle it. Let's just look for that guidance, what he has for us as a church and as individuals through this. And for our nation. We'll find as we're seeking what God wants us to have and be and do and trust through this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your church tonight. And God, I thank you for our nation has been so blessed. We have experienced so much of your mercy. And Father, we do pray for revival in our land. We pray that some of the wicked legislation that's been passed over the decades would be challenged. We pray you'd give believers in our leadership courage and opportunity to work and labor and speak out. Father, that we might become a nation that in some ways, at least in our laws, would be more pleasing unto thee. We pray you'd use this in the hearts and lives of believers, Father, to examine ourselves. Many are home. It's a time for introspection. We can look at our own selves. Many, not having work, can spend more time in the Bible. Father, might you speak to hearts about that among your people. I'm thankful to hear that you've provided jobs for these here that continue even now, and I praise your name for that. But Father, help us not to miss what you're doing for each of us here. You have something for us. You have something to reveal about yourself, even more wonderful to us. And you have something for us in regards to our witness for you. And Father, help us to be looking for that, be thankful, to be people that praise your name. You inhabit the praises of Israel, and you will inhabit our praises if we remember to praise you. God, because whatever the circumstances, we are greatly blessed in Christ, in all that we have in him, in the eternal life, which is to follow here with you in glory. And Father, help us never to forget that, to be focused upon the things that are not seen, not on the things which are seen. That thereby we may rejoice and glorify your name. We do pray for your mercies for the elderly, for the hedge about your folks in the church, Father, for provisions that we need, for healing that we need as it can glorify your name. Father, give us that strength just and that grace just to stay close with you and be victorious through this in whatever way you have for us. Father, we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.